Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, guys, we are back with another Audible Ecstasy podcast, and this week it's Chris's pick. We're hitting up Greta Van Fleet's From the Fires. Guys, y'all ready to do this?
Yes, sir. Anthony, let's hear your I know you got a tagline for this one. You've been loving this thing.
Let's try this. Talk on the street. It's the Audible Ecstasy podcast because there's black smoke rising.
Fair enough. I'll take it. Yeah, it's a nice play on two of them. Yeah.
Exactly. I had nothing. I was looking at the list going, how can I generate something off this?
We'll allow it. We'll allow it. All right, let's get this thing started. It's track number one. It's called Safari Song. So this album kicks off with Safari Song, and it absolutely is a banger right off the bat. Pure classic rock inspired sound to it. And when I say pure classic rock, this is paying homage to the great Led Zeppelin. This is Zeppelin worship through and through. This I'm going to say it on every single song. Led Zeppelin 2. I don't know what you want to call this, but this is absolutely, from the guitar to the drum sound, to the bass layering. Wow. And this thing sets a tone for the rest of the record. This is the gritty vocals, the high pitched vocals, the guitar riffs, everything works. It's an outstanding way to start. I'm at a 9. Chris, what'd you think about Safari Song?
That's definitely it's just nasty blues riff that kicks this thing off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got the Josh Sornell, those plant esque vocals, if you will. Man, it's a great opener. Anthony, like I said, get the head bobbing and the toe tapping.
Mm-hmm.
This absolutely does that. It's got a really good groove to it. Excellent guitar solo in there as well. Honestly, this Jacob Kiska, is that how you said their last
yeah,
name?
Yeah, he's
Kiska.
A hell of a guitarist.
Dude is a hell of a guitar player, and it shows on this album. I'm with you, man. Outstanding way to open the album. I gave it a 9 as well.
All right, Anthony. Safari Song. Talk to us.
Songfacts.com. It says, Greta Van Fleet had to tone this down from his original incarnation. So this song was heavier at one point in time.
Hmm.
Bassist Sam Kiska, I can't know how to pronounce his last name, explained to ABC Radio, when we formatted Safari Song for the first time, there was a lot more percussion. We kind of, I don't want to say dumbed it down, but kind of simplified it in the studio. And then Wikipedia had this to say, Josh Kiska, there's three brothers, right, in the band, and the drummer's solo dude, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Instead of the song's initial conception, we were doing some writing and recording at Plymouth Rock an old Michigan church that had been converted into a recording studio. We were playing a bunch of old blues songs, and Jake came up with this riff that I fell in love with. It had this complexity, this mixture of jungle music and blues, and it made me think of a safari, hence the title. As an ode to our love of the blues, the lyrics were written as a narrative, the way that many blues lyrics have been written. So I pulled that from Wikipedia. Not a lot on this album, but there were some. So
can we just note for a second that the name of that studio is probably in Plymouth, Michigan. It's named Plymouth Rock. That's a genius name for a studio situation.
It is. that is a really good name for it. That's what I was thinking when I was reading that. Safari song for me, man. I said that that opening just rips, puts you right into it, and then Josh tears across the speakers with that voice. Just an epic way to start a song. And after that, we were treated to a song that just grooves. This is the way you start an album. Vocals, drums, guitars are all on point. Zero complaints. It's a 9 for me, too. Killer tune. It's outstanding. So,
all right, guys. Well, let's move it to track 2. It's called Edge of Darkness. Hit it, Chris. Edge of Darkness, Chris, you know, the right spot to pick on this one, because I will go ahead and say it. That's probably the best solo, if not one of the best solos on this record. It is outstanding. The song, man, they're keeping that same momentum from the previous song. And honestly, it's moving forward with that just killer vocal style. I love it. I mean, of course, a la Robert Plant. I love it. This is just making me smile all over. I love how they allow those influences from the past to shine through on this tune. I think it's an instant, for lack of a better term, it's an instant headbanger to me. I mean, I just got my head bobbing. Love that classic sound. Love that guitar. Excellent song. I gave it an 8. Chris, what'd you think about Edge of Darkness?
Yeah, I wanted to grab that part there. I love the way those drums just kicked in after that kind of slow down in the song, and they just like let it fly.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one with just a nasty blues riff to it. Guitar solo blazing in this one. This is a solid tune. I love the flow to it and the vocals, man. I mean, he just... And you know, Anthony, you said a while back in talking to this, you kind of got some Geddy Lee in the vocals. I kind of got it on this song a little bit. It's not always straight Robert Plant ripoff. It sometimes has a little bit of other stuff to it.
If you listen to these guys more and more, like I have over the past few weeks, especially beyond this album, they definitely get away from the Zeppelinist kind of sound. They do have more of their own.
That's good.
You know, especially on their latest album, they really do. It's still there, but it's less and less. So,
well, I think it's this.
It's not a bad band to emulate.
This album right here is pure worship, and I love it.
Well, anyway, my score on this one is 8.5.
Awesome. Anthony, what'd you think about Edge of Darkness?
Yeah, it's another amazing tune with more amazing vocals, man. It's a jam from start to finish. I just love the way this song grooves, too. Love the vocals, the sound of the guitar, the drums, the sound of the band as a whole. Just killing it, man. I mean, it's 2 for 2 for me so far right now. So it's another 9. This is an outstanding tune. So I just... can't get enough of it, and you get a little Geddy Lee sound in there too as well, so I mean, what's not to love about
there it? You go. All right, let's move it up to track 3. It's called Flower Power. Hit it, Chris.
Many places, but she's homeward bound, and now she walks kind of funny. I think she knows day by day by day our love grows. She's a lantern in the night.
Flower Power. This track slows down the tempo of the album just a little bit, and it showcases this band's acoustic ability. I like how the acoustic guitar is flowing throughout the background of this song. I mean, it's a la 70s styling, dare I say, possibly psychedelic undertones going on as well. I love the vocal delivery we got from Kiska here. It's outstanding vocally, lyrically great. I mean, it's easy to get into. Not as good as the previous two tracks, and that's not an insult to it at all, because I still think the song is great. I gave it a 7. Chris, what do you think about Flower Power?
Yeah, I don't care for the name, I will say.
I'm not a fan, but
why is that?
It's just it's a reference to, you know, it's just nothing to do with the song. It's just
Love and Peace, baby.
I debated a deduction for that title alone, but
Love and Peace,
I didn't.
Man. We all need a little more Flower Power in this world.
Whatever. I kind of agree with you 100%, Jimmy. I just noticed it on the re-listen. It kind of sounds like there's a mandolin in there.
Yeah, you know, I meant to say that too, honestly, Chris. You're right. It has the hint of mandolin as well, just because of our tonality.
No, I love that acoustic organ intro they've got. Again, I mean, it's a bluesy riff, but it kind of, you know, it's a slow down. A little, everything they do has got kind of a bluesy sound to it. I will say the organ outro goes on a little long. I just kept waiting for the thing to end when I was pulling the clip. I was like, my God, this thing goes on forever. But overall, it's a great song. I agree. I gave it a 7. And by the way, this is my lowest score of the night. Nothing got below 7, so there's no flush this week. Just if anybody's waiting on it, it's not there.
Good
Interesting.
Boy.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I've said that in the past. If there's no 6 or below, it's not getting flushed. So
fair enough.
I don't know what I could have flushed on this album, honestly.
Yeah, there's not really.
You guys
bad.
Are looking forward to hearing what I have to say here in a minute. This will be fun.
I know the song you might flush.
I'm sure you do. It's okay. All right, Anthony, what did you think about Flower Power?
I love the intro, man. It's very smooth, very mellow. And after that drum roll, we are treated to another song that just works. You know, it's not as bombastic or as powerful as the two songs from before. But these guys prove on this song that they can slow things down and still sound amazing. It gave me a little bit of the Battle of Evermore by Zeppelin vibe to it when I was listening to it. I like that a lot. So I like that throwback to that song because I really like that song. So excellent too, man. I gave it an 8.
Awesome.
So vibing on this one too. So
fantastic. Let's go to track 4. It's called A Change Is Gonna Come. Chris. Beyond the sky. All right, so we got a little cover tune going on here. It's a song originally performed by Sam Cooke. They
steal my nose, Jimmy.
They performed their
dude. Everybody knows that.
Greta Van Fleet.
That's not.
I actually didn't know that.
Right there. You didn't know this was.
Yeah, it's an old.
You never heard "Change Gonna Come" by Sam Cooke?
I didn't know.
No. Dude, that is the most covered song on the face of the planet. I think.
Really, I didn't know that.
It
was a surprise to me.
It's okay.
Well, obviously, never watch American Idol or The Voice or anything like that, because those kids always sing this song. Yeah.
I never watch those shows.
Well, that's not very nice at all. I'm just kidding. There we go. All right, let's put her on.
There was one really good American Idol, but that's about it. So
we can save that for another debate, man.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, Greta Van Fleet, they give their own flavor to this song. They certainly do a pretty good job of it. Of course, you got Kiska's vocal range here. It shines because he has the range of a god, basically. Man, I mean, the only thing is, due to the popularity of the amount of times this song has been covered over the years, you know, it almost feels like it's just like, yeah, everybody does it. So it doesn't really stand out to me as one of the better songs on the album. I think this one is easily skippable. It just never really grabbed me. Still yet, song's very good. Very good cover. I'm not going to knock that. That's just, for me, it's just something I could skip on the record, even though it's not one of the, you know, a lower ratings for me. I'm at a six. And that's where I'm at. Six. Chris.
You know, it is a very covered song. And I will say that most of the times when I hear the covers, they all kind of sound the same. But these guys rock it up and make it different, man. They make it their own song. So for that reason, I'm going to go a little higher than you on this song. I mean, I think Josh's vocals kind of steal the show. Yeah, instrumentally, there's not a tremendous amount going on this song. But that's just because of the way the song is. But they did rock it up, and I think his vocals just nail it. I gave it an 8. I think it's excellent.
Perfect. All right, Anthony, what'd you think about Changes going
to And by come? The way, I'm not going to die on the hill that I love American Idol or Voice or anything. There, occasionally when it's on, I watch it. But I do know that this is a very covered song on shows like that.
I've
like
never
all
heard
the time.
This song before.
That's you really need to listen to the original because it's a great song, man.
I can't imagine it is. I probably should listen to more Sam Cooke. I mean, you know, but yeah, you know, Wikipedia basically says that it's a song by Sam Cooke released in 1964. So I won't go too deep into it, but it was inspired by various events in Cooke's life. Most prominently when he and his entourage were turned away from a whites-only motel in Louisiana. Cooke felt compelled to write a song that spoke to his struggle and of those around him, and that pertained to the civil rights movement and African-American. So it kind of got a nice meaning to it. I guess that's probably why people cover it so much.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely like a civil rights anthem from that time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a good one for our day and age, too, probably. I love the way this song comes in. I love how Josh sounds on vocals. The man can just flat out sing. He was born to do it. It shows. His vocals are a powerhouse. He puts everything into it. It's a flawless performance, man. Never misses a note. Band never misses a beat. Digging the vocals, the drums, the harmonies, the guitars, it all works. I gave this a 9. I think it's outstanding, man. But like I said, I've never heard it before this album. And I was like, first time I heard this song, I was like, my God, this guy can sing. And I never heard this song before.
It's a unique twist on it, man. Because like I say, most people sound the same when they do it. And it's I think it's unique the way he covers it. So
maybe I would have had a little different opinion, too, if I'd have heard it 1,000 times over. But this one blew me away when I heard it the first time. So
wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, let's go to track number 5, Highway Tune. Hit it, Chris.
Get in the car, roll down the windows, and go, man.
Highway Tune. This is where it gets weird. First song I ever heard by these guys. Floored. Immediately floored.
That's exactly what I said.
And this was, you know, 12 or 10 years ago, however long it's been now since I first heard this tune. And when I heard this, I was just like, holy. When I heard this, this is on satellite radio, really wasn't paying attention. Like, did they find a hidden or an unreleased Zeppelin song? Because that's exactly what I thought had happened. And honestly, this song just rocks. It's infectious as hell, man. Catchy chorus. The guitar is outstanding. I will say that this, you know, this song made me into a little bit of a Greta Van Fleet fan that I am. You know, my wife is a huge fan of these guys, so she loves Greta Van Fleet. And this song right here just grabbed me. It made me appreciate everything they've done and still listen to them to this day. You know, it'll pop up on my playlist. Fantastic song. Fantastic song. And this is where I'm going to bring up, I found something back, God, I can't remember how long ago it was, but I found a video of Robert Plant talking about Greta Van Fleet, and it's, you know, it's a few years back. It's not been too long, but probably 5-6 years ago. And he said that he actually said them. That's this album, talking about this album, is basically Led Zeppelin 1. He said that Kiska was a beautiful little singer. I hate him. He says, what do you think about Kiska's voice? He said, yeah, man, he borrowed it from somebody I know very well. But what are you going to do? I love it. The nod.
But he said that sarcastic. When he said hate it, he said it sarcastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you listened to
him. He loved it.
He loved his yeah, voice. Because so just want to put that out there. It was a sarcastic tone.
Well, I don't think anybody thinks that he says that that he hated him, but he was jokingly saying.
Some people do.
Maybe, I don't know. Nonetheless.
Read the comments.
Song's a 9.5. I think it's playing outstanding perfection. Best song on the record. Chris, what do you think about Highway Tune?
Well, it is their highest streamed song. It's got over 200 million listens on Spotify, which is basically double anything else that they've got. You know, it's a rocking tune, and it's interesting for me because when I hear this initially, I think, okay, this is a rocking song, man. There is no doubt about it. One of the most rocking songs they've got. But it sounds like, to me, like I can hear like some show on FX using this as a theme song, you know, like a Sons of Anarchy kind of show or something. To me, it feels like it's almost made for that because it's very short. It's only 3 minutes long, and it flies by. And there's not a whole lot of chorus there, really. It's just kind of like, ooh, my, ha, ha, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the chorus is exactly. But instrumentally, it rocks like hell. I don't think it's the best song on the album, personally, but I do think it's an outstanding song, so I gave it a 9. And I can't argue if anybody wants to give this a 10 because it probably is perfection for the genre, and like I can't, but at the same time I'm like, there's no chorus there, and there is a song I prefer on this album as well, so it's probably my second favorite song, but I go with a 9 on it. I'll keep my score. I thought about bumping it and I was like, I'll just stick my guns on this one.
All right, Anthony, what did you think about Highway Tune?
Songfacts.com said the song climbed all the way to number one on Billboard's mainstream rock songs airplay chart, dated September 16th, 2017. And Wikipedia said Highway Tune was the first song the band had ever written and recorded together. The song's initial guitar riff was cited by guitarist Jake as being written as early as back as 2010, 7 years prior to the song's release as a single, and 2 years prior to the band even being formed. The riff was then brought to early writing and recording sessions upon the band forming in 2012. And was later reformatted and demoed twice before being recorded in its final form. So interesting how far back the song goes for him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, I did bump mine just now. So I'm just letting
you know. Right, were you not at a 10 to start with?
I was on the fence. There was two on here. I was on the fence. One, I was like, yes. And then the other one was like, okay, yeah. After hearing that this time, I was like, yeah. I put Mic Drop. This is the song that put me on the floor the first time I heard it. And when I got up off the floor, I couldn't stop grooving around the room to it. Another Zeppelin-sounding song that works. It's bombastic, loud, upbeat. Makes you want to turn up the radio, press down the gas in the car, and just go. Love it. It's a 10, man. It's perfection for me. So, yeah, this is one of those driving songs. You would be so fast on the interstate if this song was on.
So. I agree. I mean, I can't disagree with that. And you shouldn't be influenced by it, but the fact that it's got double the streams of anything else they've done, it speaks volumes to what the fans
hate that popularity. So. Damn it.
Yeah.
It's like their stuff, second played song in concert or something too, I think, next to that very last song. So
okay.
I can see it. All right, let's go to track number 6. It's called Meat on the Ledge.
Blown off this mountain with the wind.
All right, guys. Meat on the Ledge is another cover. This time it's a different genre, if you will, but it certainly is folk-inspired. Greta Van Fleet, they typically give it their sound, which is exactly what you'd expect from them. The guitar is outstanding as far as the tonality. I love the effects they've got using on this thing. It just sounds killer. I feel like it's a little bit better. Well, maybe not better than the previous cover song, because that one is probably iconic when the land of covers and a land of blues. But it's not as high scored on mine. Once again, I can find myself skipping this song. Just not as rocking as I like in a classic song, for some classic rock sounding song. I found that it is basically somewhere between good and very good. This is my lowest score of the night. I gave this one a 5.5. Chris, what'd you think about Meat on the Ledge?
Yeah, it's a nice little mid-tempo rocker. And before hearing this, I didn't realize it was a cover either. Anthony may have some notes, so I'll let him dig into that if he wants to. But for me, kind of reminds me a little bit in parts of When the Levee Breaks. There's parts of this song, not the parts I captured for sure. The beginning of it, solid guitar solo. It's a decent back half song. I can't say I have strong feelings about it. I gave it a 7. It's tied for my lowest score of the night. But you know, that said, it's still, I thought it was a great song. I mean, the chorus kind of gets to you after a while. You kind of gets right in your head. If there wasn't much of a chorus to this would have been a flush. But I'll leave it at a 7. And I could have flushed either one, but I just flushed the first one. I flushed Flower Power for the name more than anything, really. But or no, I didn't flush it. they were both 7s. I would have flushed it if I was going to flush it.
Oh, my Lord, that's great. All right, Anthony, what did you think about Meat on the Ledge?
Wikipedia, Meat on the Ledge is a song written by British singer-songwriter Richard Thompson and recorded by British folk rock band Fairport Convention in 1968 on Island Records. It was their second single. And Wikipedia also said that Thompson has acknowledged that some people interpret the ledge as some sort of code for the afterlife, and that it is popular at funerals. In an interview with Mojo Magazine, Thompson said, "The hardest thing about being a 17-year-old songwriter is that you're embarrassed. You're never going to write a song saying, 'These are my feelings, I love you.' So I was trying to find some semi-veiled language that conveyed something to somebody somehow, but which didn't really say anything up front. It's a slightly naive song, a little obscure. I don't even know what it means. I had to sing it at my own mother's funeral. It was in her will. That's about the hardest thing I've ever done." So,
sounds like this song.
Richard Thompson, the singer-songwriter, the song. So,
gotcha.
Kind of imagine.
He wasn't a member of that band, right, Anthony?
I don't think so. It was British singer-songwriter, and it was recorded by the British rock band Fairport. That's the way I read it. So he wrote it, but the Fairport.
I was just curious if that was brought up at all. I didn't know. I just knew it was a cover tune because I'd read that much onto it in Wikipedia myself. So
yeah, the way they wrote it, it would sound like he wrote it, then they recorded it. So, but
fair enough.
That's kind of interesting. I didn't know this was a cover either. So, but a few people probably do.
Yeah, I didn't know it until we heard the song. So that's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I do love the groove and vibe of this one. It's another one that works. It's got this kind of psychedelic vibe to it that, I haven't heard a lot in popular music as of late. Not a bad thing. And Josh, once again, is putting his soul into the vocals. Band is on point. It's another jam with a solid bluesy guitar solo. And this is a 7 for me. This is a great. It didn't gel with me as much as the other ones did, but I still fluctuate between 7 and 8. Even listen to it now, I was like, yeah. I still really like the song. It's just you can definitely tell when the song is not as prominent for you as other songs. So
I would dare question both of you guys, since you scored a little bit higher than I did. I mean, compared to the rest of this record, how do you think this one flows?
It's the
top
weakest
two,
one on the
top
album.
Four, the weakest. Yeah,
I think it's the weakest.
I think it's
the weakest song
for
two.
The weakest. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Still, but solid, the chorus
solid
is good,
song,
man.
Solid
the
song.
The chorus is an infectious chorus that can stick in your head after a while. So for that,
it can.
When something can
sure.
stick with me, it has sticking power, I tend to give it a little higher score.
Yeah, like Josh and the band just make that song. Sometimes they take a mediocre song a band can, like they can, and just turn it up a little bit, make it better than it actually probably is.
Right.
So, you know.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to track 7. Talk on the Street, Chris. Talk on the Street, man. So these, the bluesy undertones in the song are absolutely there. I mean, you can hear it throughout this tune. I looked into this song a little bit to see what they were talking about because I didn't understand the meaning of it just by, and I can hear it now. It basically, what I found was they were writing a song based on society issues that we're having back, I guess back then they wrote this tune in 11 or 12, and the communication breakdown that lie between, and I get that now. It's I think it's gritty. Vocals are passionate once again. I mean, you can't deny this man's vocal powers, and it's great. I think the song turned out to be excellent for me. It's a heck of a uprise from Meat on the Ledge in my ears, and it was a welcome return to power and just a great song, rocking. I think it far superior than the previous song. I gave this one an 8. I think it's excellent, and it certainly is a heck of a way to start closing this record out. Chris, what did you think about Talk on the Street?
Yeah, it's definitely got some nasty riffage there with the Plant-esque vocals coming in, maybe Getty-esque, I don't know. Josh is just on fire on this song. Love the transitions between parts of the song. The guitar solo is really good. I like his tone, man. The guitar tone on this song is top-notch. I don't know what instruments and amps and what all he used to make that tone, but it's really good. Probably got a lot of effects.
Same as Jimmy Page.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, in the back of my head, I was like, is this guy like, did he go and get like Page's rig and try to recreate it, do you think? I mean.
Yeah, well, he's basically, I think, really? From what I understand, he used the Telecaster and the Les Paul, the Marshalls. I mean, he did everything he could to emulate that tonality.
Okay.
And it's, which makes sense. You can hear it. Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. Dude, everybody does it. It's not just him. Don't get me wrong.
There's
hundreds, if not thousands, of artists.
That's a popular rig, the case.
Marshall Stack and Les Paul.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, man. I gave it a 7.5 overall. I think it's between great and excellent.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, fair solid enough. Back half song.
Fair enough. Anthony, what'd you think about Talk on the Street?
Didn't Lemmy run his bass through a Marshall, if I'm not mistaken?
God.
Didn't he do something crazy?
I thought it was
like
an Ampeg, but yeah, it could have been. Hell, dude, he was crazy. I love it.
He like played the bass almost like a guitar. It was kind of crazy the way he did
it. He attacked it like a guitar. It's
he did.
Sure.
So yeah. I think he may have done that. But anyways, yeah, man, this is another tune that simply works. Not much more to say other than that. Joss is using those powerhouse vocals once again. Band is backing him up flawlessly. Love the sound of this one too, man. No issues, no complaints. It's 8. It's excellent. So. Gonna get no problems with me on this one.
Fair enough. Let's close this record out. Track 8, Black Smoke Rising. So Black Smoke Rising, probably my second favorite song on this album. It's fantastic. It's got that chorus that's so memorable. Incredible vocal delivery yet again. I mean, it's a prime example of what Greta Van Fleet brings to the table of meshing classic rock with today's sound. I mean, it absolutely is a fantastic. I mean, this is a, once again, pure Zeppelin worship. It absolutely roots itself hard in Led Zeppelin iconography, if you will, because it's an iconic band they're emulating. I think this is probably one of the best closing songs we've had all year.
I'd agree.
I find it to be somewhere between outstanding and perfection. Yet again, this is my other 9.5 on the record, and you probably wouldn't have to twist my arm to sway it one way or the other.
Twist
Chris,
it.
Black Smoke Rising.
You know, I can't believe this wasn't a single from these guys. If Wikipedia is right, it was just Highway Tune and Safari Song. So
it
that's
is
surprising.
Wikipedia, so.
It is, so it very well might not be true.
It's their number one played song in concert, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, we talk a lot about how to close an album on this podcast. Jimmy's kind of obsessed with it sometimes. That's my favorite thing,
yeah.
And
for sure.
You talk about a way to close an album. Not only do you have a rocking song that just has a great groove to it, but on top of that, the name of the song, Black Smoke Rising, from the album From the Fires. I mean, that's brilliant the way you
they even
tie
use
that,
that lyric is in
yeah,
the song.
Yeah, so, that's I brilliant. Mean, I love the way
it
they
in
did
there.
That.
Perfect.
The riff is just, it gets in your head. It's a tremendous riff. It almost has like a 90s pop rock kind of like riffage to it in a way. Not, I don't mean that as an insult at all. It's like a Spin Doctors
that
or something. I don't know
like
how to say
it.
You know what I mean? I know it does, but I don't mean it that way. It's, I just notice it. They use that kind of sound and lift it and drop it into their music, I think. It's extremely singable chorus. Man, this one got stuck in my head. I want to call him a sleeper. I don't know if it's fair to call this a sleeper since it's their most played song in concert.
Pretty sure
it wasn't. It wasn't a single, if Wikipedia is true. I don't know. It is my favorite song on the album for sure. I think it's perfection for the genre. I think it's the best closure we've had all year. I gave it a 10. Yeah, I think it's a tremendous song. My favorite song on the album by far.
Awesome, awesome, Anthony. What
and it's the reason I was like, is you know, Highway Tune with double the streams, maybe not double, but like a lot more. Like that's a great song and it rocks, but it's only 3 minutes. There's no chorus. This thing's got meat to it, man. I mean, that's the difference
but
for me.
If so. Highway Tune was a single, then I can understand why maybe it's got more streams.
I guess yeah. I don't know.
That may be the reason why, but. Maybe it showed up in a show somewhere along the way.
Yeah,
it feels like yeah. something I could see it like could a commercial for Rosolian Isles or something, you know, on TBS. I don't know, man. Like
it could be a car
it has that sound
song
to it.
Too.
But, well, I don't know. Like just some random action show. I don't know, like TV drama detective show or something. I don't know. Awesome. But as far as this song goes, it's perfection. I love the way it ends the album. It's a 10.
All right, Anthony, what did you think about Black Smoke Rising?
Wikipedia, the song has been described as traditional guitar-driven rock song, prominently featuring Jake's guitar riff hook and lead singer Josh's husky howl. At the 2:30 mark of the song breaks its structure to enter a minute-long interlude.
Yes,
consisting of
love that.
Yeah, I know, it's great. Joshua's howling vocals and Jacob's psychedelic guitar work. You don't get a lot of those interludes this day and age. Most songs these days just plow through, but these guys actually put some interludes and some waves in. It's really nice to hear.
The drums kick in at that part too, and just like it's tremendous, man. Yeah.
I know. It says thematically the song was inspired by the summers by bonfires of their youth. So that's kind of cool to think about, sitting by bonfires jamming to this song, smoking a little green. It'd be kind of cool, you know. So
black smoke rising off the bonfire. There you go. I mean, it's just like
and
it fits, man.
Too.
Yeah.
When we were all kids, our extended families and friends spent part of every summer together at a place called Yankee Springs. We were out in the middle of the woods, and every night we'd sit around a campfire, play music, and tell stories. I always loved that as it reminded me of ancient times when people would gather around the fires with the tribe's elders, telling fables of wisdom and courage, passing down human history. That concept is where the cover art and title come from. So, if Wikipedia is to be believed, that's pretty cool to learn all that. So
yeah, it really is, man. Yeah.
Anyways, man, like you guys said, it's a way to close an album out. I thought myself one of the best closures we've had all year. I just love every freaking inch of this song, man. The vocals, the guitars, the drums, just, God. It's just zero flaws, man. It's the kind of song you just want to just crank as loud as you can possibly crank and maybe try and make it go a little bit louder. It's just a killer tune, man. This is perfection. It's a 10. So, you know, if you're not a fan of this band by the time you hit this song, then this song will turn you into a fan.
I don't know, man. If you're not a fan by this song, you're probably not going to be a fan. This the whole album, just the whole album itself in general should grab you.
Even if it's supposed to be what Chris said, like a two EPs mashed together. Yeah. We're kind of on the fence about being an actual album. So, but still, it's eight songs. It's an album to my mind. So, you know,
that's exactly how I like it. Yeah. This is a harkens to the days of the classic LP of eight songs from the 70s.
Right.
This absolutely falls right in line with it. So, I mean, it's
not
what makes 35 it so much better.
Songs or 40 songs.
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly, man. You're rocking that's on, so man. Infuriating these days. Yeah.
All right, well, guys, got some final thoughts about this record. This is what I think. I mean, from the very start of this record, first of all, I'd heard it before, never really dove into it. Great songs, three or four here that pop up my wife's playlist more so when she's driving around and I'm riding with her than mine, but they're still in my pop-ups every once in a while. But my God, this thing starts off with Safari Song, and honestly, it kind of grabs you. It's like a little bit of a roller coaster ride in my ears, but man, it finishes on top so, so strong. And back half this record is incredible. I mean, just period. From track, you know, five on, it's just rocking. I love it. I think that the bluesy riffs, the powerful vocals, it doesn't help that I'm a huge Zeppelin fan. I mean, because this absolutely makes me smile and think about Zeppelin every time I hear about it, guys. I just straight out. I know I've said it all week or past couple weeks to y'all. I mean, my Lord. Guitarist is incredible. My God. It's just amazing. Vocally incredible. This song or this album is absolutely worth anybody's time. I think if you're a fan of classic rock, blues rock, don't pass this one up. I know the comparisons are obviously going to be there to classic rock, and Anthony got the comparisons with a little Rush thrown in, little Zeppelin thrown in, a little, you know, I could hear a little bit of, you know, Bad Company is some of the riffs. I mean, it's weird. You can hear that 70 pure 70 influence, guys. I love it. My overall did come out to be a little lower than I thought it was going to be, but it's because I had that 5.5 in there. It came out to be a 7.7. I'm good with that, guys. I mean, that's somewhere between great and excellent. And this album is absolutely between great and excellent. I mean, it's worthy of a spin. Chris, what are your final thoughts?
I'm glad I picked it. I'd been thinking about it for a while. I wasn't sure how it would be received, but something back in my head told me Anthony would actually love this. So that's kind of why I was like, all right, let's throw this out here and see what happens. Jimmy, I know you probably already knew it pretty well, but sometimes Anthony needs a little prodding to listen to modern music. So I'm kind of glad we put this on his radar. And like, you know, like you said, man, this will spawn new groups to listen to, because you can put this on a playlist, all of a sudden you get other music rolling.
I don't have a radio anymore like I did back in the day. You know, back in the day, you turn on the radio and you hear all this music. It's hard to find it anymore.
Yeah, the only thing you can do is XM, basically. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. But yeah, you know, that was kind of my thought going into it. And, you know, I have a penchant for blues rock, and I kind of like all the riffs on this album and stuff. So that appealed to me. Vocally, it's strong. Yeah, it somewhat sounds like Plant. But honestly, like, nobody really owns the copyright to, like, a vocal style when you get right down to it. There aren't a lot of people that sound like that, but I mean, I don't feel like he's doing anything wrong. He's just singing the way he sings, and yeah, he's influenced by Zeppelin, but to call it just like a ripoff is a little insulting to those guys.
I think so.
I do know it sounds like it, but like, I don't know. I feel like they separate themselves a little bit from Zeppelin as far as that goes. It absolutely has one of the strongest closures we've had all year on this album. Love that. It kind of makes you feel good about the future of rock. You know, you've got this kind of perfect mesh of classic and modern that they kind of throw together and put out there. And there aren't a lot of bands, unfortunately. You know, most of the time now, like Anthony said, you listen to the radio, it's just a lot of pop and a lot of rap and a lot of R&B. Not much rock, unfortunately. But there are, you know, is it possible we can get that back one day where we have a ton of rock music on the radio? I don't know. I'm not sure the kids these days listen to that kind of stuff, so maybe not. But I know it's like some old codger when I say that, but yeah, man, I rounded mine up. It was an 8.3. That's pretty high for me. Like, when I saw that score, I was like, because typically I'm down in the sevens. 8.3 is a really high score for with no rounding at all. Just, you know, it's over the excellent mark for me. And it's an excellent album, so I'm good with that score.
Yeah. All right. Anthony, what are your final thoughts?
You know, Chris made me think of something about music coming back. Like I told you guys, I stumbled onto the Struts yesterday and kind of liked their sound. They have sort of that glam rock sort of Death Leopard, Queenish kind of sound. You got Greta Van Fleet carrying the torch for this sort of classic rock. Dawes has brought back that sort of Laurel Canyon sound. So you got some bands out there that are kind of dipping their toes back into some of that older kind of rock, and it's kind of nice to hear, you know. And who knows? Maybe the torch will keep going. Maybe we're just circling back. Maybe these artists who died in the 60s are being recycled back into our society again through these other artists. You know, maybe this reincarnation happening all over again. So who knows? That's what I keep thinking. Maybe we've got some reincarnation going on. You know, I wrote, phenomenal pick, Chris. Album of the year for me. So glad you introduced me to this band. You know, I think you found a band I'm going to be really getting into, and a band that may have inspired a new podcast, come to think of it. Love their sound. Love the way they're carrying the torch for classic rock. Simply love listening to them. Easily recommend them to anyone who listens to us or anyone who needs some great music to listen to. And do yourself a favor today. If you don't want to listen to their album, just go turn on like an Essentials playlist or go to Spotify and find their greatest. Just turn on their playlist today and venture beyond this album. You will not be disappointed. My final score is 8.7, and I am more than happy with that. So I really, really enjoyed this album. So
I'd like anyways. To make one more comment on this too. You know, something that is kind of bordering on a pet peeve of mine now is the fact that all these people that we used to listen to in concert, you know, back in the '80s, they're still touring. They're charging $400 a ticket. It's hard to get in to get the tickets to begin with. You've got, these guys are basically walking around with walkers anymore, trying to like perform. Their vocals are shot for these guys like Motley Crue and Bon Jovi and stuff like that. You got people like this who are in their prime right now. You could probably go see for under $100. That's the difference, man. And this is why I like finding bands like this, because I'd rather go see somebody in their prime who's good, who's upcoming, that I like their music, instead of spending $400 on Aerosmith, man. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. They're not worth it. I saw them for $20 in their prime. They're not worth $400 when they're not in their prime. They're just not.
It's like that other band, Dirty Honey, that I found on there. They got a couple albums out. Bad Marriage had some good tunes. They opened for Tesla. They were pretty solid. It's not hard to find
some of these bands and really just kind of think, okay, these guys are really good. And if you dive into that discography of theirs, you're gonna find some hidden gems and really sometimes just be able to show up at a club somewhere and listen to them without spending hardly anything, man, and meet the band after, you know, stuff like that. So
it's kind of cool.
I'm all about that kind of music these days.
If you can find it.
Oh, yeah.
No, I agree. It doesn't have to be somebody 80 who's charging $400 a ticket, man.
Dude, it's crazy that Greta Van Fleet came to Johnson City at one point in time and played a bar.
Capone.
That's all I'm saying. Right. Yeah.
I mean,
that's insane. Insane.
And I guarantee they were outside shaking hands and taking pictures with people when it was over, too. Sure. So,
unreal. Unreal. All right, guys. Well, I think we have us a pick here for us.
And in this corner, weighing in at approximately 180 pounds, the Ace of Apex.
I've lost a little weight.
The Italian Stallion. The Ballad Boy. It's Anthony with his Pick of the Week.
Yeah, my pick is one that it could be an interesting discussion. It's an artist that has been maligned as of late throughout the years once he reached a certain category. And there's a song on here that's actually better than maybe the iconic song he's known for. And it's an album from a year before we were born, 1971. It's Rod Stewart's Every Picture Tells a Story.
Okay.
Telling you guys, I think you're going to be really impressed with it. I listened to it. There's a lot of blues rock, classic rock. It's a really, really good album. Maggie May's on this one, so pick the one with this big iconic song. But the song Mandolin Wind, it might be better than Maggie May, personally.
So you feel like he's been maligned recently?
I think, you know, over the years, I think since he kind of hit the soft rock days, I think he got a lot more maligned and more of a joke. Okay. And I think you hear Rod Stewart and you're like, that's Rod Stewart. But I think he might be kind of impressed with this album, the sound of it.
I'll actually really enjoy it from, you know, I like most Rod Stewart when I hear it. So I think I'll probably.
Yeah, so it was between that and George Jones, and I was like, I'm not sure I'm ready for the country stuff this yet.
That's a big difference between those two.
Oh, man, well, I got the George Jones album pick for my country month, but
gotcha.
That's the one that's got He Stopped Loving Her Today on it, which is arguably one of the greatest, which came out late in his career, which I was surprised to learn. It was like 1980. Mm. You know, you'd think that'd be earlier in his career. So, but this Rod Stewart, man, it's a good album, man. There's a song in there that's Tomorrow Is a Long Time that I heard before by Nickel Creek, which is actually an old Dylan song. So he did that one on there too. And, you know, so I actually put Mandolin Wind on my other podcast at one point in time. So I love the mandolin in that song. So it might be something you might not expect from him. So hopefully you'll enjoy it. We got about, what, two weeks, three weeks to listen to it, something like that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Got a little break coming up. So, yeah, it should be good.
So, anyway, so we may throw some stuff out in between me and Jimmy. Who knows? I'm tentatively working on a new podcast. I'm not sure I'm going to do or not, but I'm sort of working on it. So, we'll get over
that. Fantastic. Well, Anthony, I know you should be back in swing, aren't you? What's going on with you this week?
Nothing this week, but maybe the next week. I'm diving into boats, beaches, bars, and ballots, and I'm going through all of them, one each week. Nice. Because I actually found stuff on all of them. So I've got like 7 or 8 scripts written for everything, but I just have not recorded nothing yet. So kids are in school next week, so I'll probably start trying to work again past my days. So we'll see.
Fantastic. Dude, that's awesome. It's a great, great collection of songs. Love it. Absolutely love it to this day. All right, boys. Well, let's wrap this week up. It's been a great listen. What do you say? All right, boys. For the Audible XC podcast, this is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
And this is it.